God is so good, as we have sung. Our lesson this morning, the text is found in Hosea chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying, killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break all restraint with bloodshed upon bloodshed. Therefore the land will mourn, and everyone who dwells there will waste away with the beasts of the field and the birds of the air. Even the fish of the sea will be taken away. Now let no man contend or rebuke another, for your people are like those who contend with the priest. Therefore you shall stumble in the day, the prophet also shall stumble with you in the night, and I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priests for me, because you have forgotten the law of your God. I will also forget your children. Study of the minor prophets is, if we can learn a little about each of those prophets, it's very helpful. And in studying the book of Hosea, I find it is a good memory device or reminder, the phrase harlotry of Israel. This reminds us that Hosea was preaching to the northern kingdom of Israel, and that one of the major topics, themes of the book was the idolatry of the nation, which he described in terms of harlotry. And this is the book, as we spoke a couple of weeks ago, that has a love story in the background of the prophet and his wife Gomer, that God instructed him to marry a woman of harlotry. And that as she proved herself to be unfaithful to Hosea the prophet, he remained faithful to her, as God had remained faithful to Israel. There was a message there in the prophet's life, and helpful to him to appreciate God's faithfulness to his people in spite of their unfaithfulness. That is one of the things that stands out in the text here in chapter 4. One of the causes of their destruction that he warned about was their lack of knowledge. And this great statement that he makes in verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. As some translations, my people perish for lack of knowledge. And that theme of the lack of knowledge stands out in verse 1 also, as he began and said that he had a controversy with the people, that there is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. And this led forth to the swearing and killing and all the types of sin that was happening among their lives. And then in verse 6 at the end, he said, because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you. So that is one of the leading causes of the eventual captivity of the nation of Israel that he warned about there. That even though God was faithful to the people of Israel, as he taught Hosea to be faithful to his wife, that eventually their serving of other gods led to judgment coming upon the nation, where finally in 721 BC, the armies of Assyria came and captured the nation and took them away into captivity. That lack of knowledge led to the destruction of God's people. And when we come to the New Testament church, and read about in the early church the spiritual gifts, one of those being the gift of knowledge that was given through the Holy Spirit, through the laying on of the hands of the apostles. To one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit that God provided through the spiritual gifts in the early church, things that they could not otherwise have known. God revealed these to these individuals, and they received a gift of knowledge that allowed them, enabled them to speak those things which had not been written yet in the Scripture. God wanted them to be known, and He provided a spiritual gift of that, along with some of the other spiritual gifts of prophecies and miracles and things of that nature. But when we today look at our lives, and if we are expecting that the gift of knowledge is just going to appear by the snap of the finger, we are mistaken. Because the gift of knowledge for us comes through the study of God's Word. And without that, there will be the lack of knowledge among us as God's people today. Knowledge is something that we must learn, and we must give diligence, and it takes effort and work on our part to have a knowledge of God's Word and a knowledge of His will for our lives. But the thing that I want to point out in the lesson today is that there is still a danger of this same thing recurring among God's people today, where God's people could be endangered to be destroyed eternally and perishing for lack of knowledge. Because God would look among His people and say, there is no knowledge of God here. Now, of course, we may know the facts about Him. We may know some of the basic things and be able to recite things from God's Word. But at the same time, if we have not made a personal effort to take this knowledge and incorporate it into our lives so that it deeply impacts us in our day-to-day thoughts and choices and decisions of life that we make, God may look among us and say, there is no knowledge of God among my people. And so it is something that, if we do not make a personal effort to obtain this knowledge of God, it is something that we must see the importance of, the necessity of in our lives today, that we have a personal responsibility to gain a knowledge of God's Word in our lives today. And without that, we are in danger to perish, even though we are God's people. Why is knowledge such a critical thing in our lives? Why is it that without knowledge, we, like Israel, will perish? So I want to focus the lesson about that this morning, to emphasize the importance, the necessity of knowledge among God's people. And the first thing that I would point out to all of us this morning is that you cannot believe what you do not know. And we are saved by faith in Jesus Christ. In fact, Jesus Himself said that except you believe that I am He, in John 8 and verse 24, you will die in your sins. Knowledge is what leads us to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. to believe it with all of our hearts, to make a commitment of our life to Jesus Christ as our Lord, that comes first of all because of our knowledge of who He is. And without that knowledge, how can we believe? We cannot believe what you do not know. Therefore, knowledge is essential, absolutely essential, to our salvation, that we do not perish as the people of Israel perished, who because of their ignorance of God and His law, drifted away from Him into idolatry in their lives. And it was due to a lack of knowledge on their part. Not knowing the law of God led to the destruction of the nation. Now, he says in verse 1, the Lord has a controversy against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God. And it affected their lives in many different ways that they did not have the knowledge of His law. They did not understand God. They did not understand His will for their lives clearly. And not only did it result in idolatry, but it resulted in swearing and killing and lack of mercy and a lack of kindness and compassion. And so every area of life is affected when we have a lack of knowledge of God and His Word in our lives today. I would call your attention to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Where Paul is speaking to Timothy and in exhorting Timothy of his work as an evangelist. He begins there in verse 8 and he says, this is 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8, and I'm going to read several verses here, but there's a point that I want to make. So therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me His prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason, verse 12, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep what I have committed to Him until that day. Here we see the connection between knowledge and belief in Jesus. The fundamental belief that we have in our Savior and our commitment to Him to live and to face persecution if necessary for the cause of Christ. I know whom I have believed. And therefore, I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed to Him until the day of the coming of our Lord. You cannot believe what you don't know. And the King James Bible, in speaking of the marital intimacy of a husband and his wife in the sexual relationship, one of the things that it says is, how does it describe it? He said that Adam knew his wife and she conceived. This is referring to the most intimate and close relationship. And when the Bible speaks of our knowledge of God, it speaks of that in terms of a close, intimate relationship that we have with God. For example, in Psalm 46 in verse 10, where he says, "Be still and know that I am God." Cease striving and know that I am God. That is our knowledge of God, that He is the eternal God. He is unchangeable. He is faithful. He is all-powerful. He is sovereign in our lives. And therefore, once we know Him, in the proper way, then our life can be at peace and secure, and we can be calm and we can face troubles and be secure and know that God is our God, and we have chosen Him and we live our lives by Him because we believe in Him with all of our heart. Why would Job make the statement that he made in the book of Job when Job was going through all of the struggles that he was faced with and all these things that were happening in his life and things that he didn't understand why it was happening to him? His family was all destroyed, and here he had these boils all over his body. But he makes this wonderful statement. He says, I know that my Redeemer lives, and that after all of this is over, I'm going to face my Redeemer, and my Redeemer lives. And so he could face life. He could face life not knowing why things were happening in his life. Why was he suffering? Why were all of these things going on that he could not explain? But he knew one thing. His Redeemer lives, and therefore he believed that with all of his heart. So why is knowledge so important in our lives? Because if we do not have knowledge, how can we believe who God is? How can we base our lives upon Him and face the challenges that are going to come in this world that we live in if we do not have a knowledge of who God is? And of what His will for our lives is. And that comes through His Word. How will we ever be able to give an answer to others if we do not know who God is? And as Jesus said, I remind you again, except you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. And in the book of Habakkuk in the Old Testament, Habakkuk makes the great statement. He said, the just shall live by faith. My righteous one will live by faith. So when we see the statement, my people perish for lack of knowledge, we can understand that when we do not have a knowledge of the law of God, and we do not know our God, and we do not know our Lord Jesus Christ in a personal way with all of our hearts that we believe in Him, what is the result going to be? We're going to drift into indifference, into mediocrity, into worldliness, because of a lack of knowledge that we have of Him. Now, he goes on then, in addition to this point that you can't believe what you don't know, the second thought is that you can't practice what you don't know. Not only are you not going to believe it, but you can't practice it if you don't know what God's will is for your life. It says, by swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break all restraint with bloodshed upon bloodshed. Therefore, the land will not mourn. So that one thing led to everything else in their life. The breakdown of their society. The life that they were living was so far away from what God wanted them to be. We see people often today will use language that just a generation ago, Christians would not have even considered using that type of language. And today, they think nothing of it. Everybody talks that way. Well, it's because of a lack of knowledge of His will for our lives that we drift away into beginning to talk the way the world talks around us and using the same kind of slang expressions, or I would say gutter language, that comes out of the world. It comes straight out of the devil into our lives. But we don't have the knowledge of God. We haven't made the application of what is God's will for our lives really like. So you can't practice what you don't know. In John 8, in verse 31 and 32, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." That will be the result of knowledge. Whenever you know the truth, now the truth will make you free. It will make a difference in your life. It will set you free from sin. But you have to have that knowledge. And so, you can't practice what you don't know. Now, some people are not that way. Some people are not of the mind of, I need to know God's word because I want to be set free from sin. Some people have that turnaround backwards. Their thinking is, if I don't know, then I don't have to deal with it. I'm better off not knowing what it is. I'm better off keeping my Bible closed because I might find something in there that I don't... You know, that might make me have to make a change in some area of my life. It's like people who will not go to the doctor. There are people who... You know, they may think that there's probably something wrong with me. It may even be something seriously wrong with me. But you know what? If I go to the doctor, he's probably going to tell me what it is. And then I'm going to have to make some decisions and some kind of a life-changing surgery, perhaps, or some procedure that I don't really want to go through. So I'd rather just not know. Just don't even want to hear it. And, you know, if it's one of our family members, we get really frustrated. We say, you need to go to the doctor. You need to find out what's wrong. We're concerned about you. But they don't want to go. They don't want to find out. Because it might be bad news. Well, how much more tragic is it when it's people doing that in regard to their own soul? In other words, I know the way I'm living. I know that I'm doing things that I shouldn't be doing in my life. But I really don't want to hear about it. I don't want to open the Bible and read and find out for sure that God is not pleased with my life and He requires me to change the way I'm living. And so I'm just going to continue to keep the Bible shut because I know what I'm going to find if I open it. Now, you can't practice what you don't know. But that doesn't make it okay. That doesn't mean that because you keep the Bible shut, it's just going to go away. And that you're not somehow, therefore, accountable to God if there's something wrong in your life any more than if you ignore it and you don't go to the doctor, that's going to make it not exist. Why not go and find out the truth? And then it can set you free and you can get the help that you need. And that's the reason we need to go into the Bible. Has God ever told us that on the day of judgment, He's going to ask people the question, now, how much of my word did you know? Oh, you didn't know anything about it. That's okay. It's not like little kids. Little kids will sometimes run up to mom and say, Mommy, I didn't know. I didn't know that you said that. But we can't do that with God. We are accountable to God. We have to. God has given His Word so that we can know what the truth is. In the book of Romans, chapter 10, the Apostle Paul said concerning his concern of the nation of Israel, his heart was concerned for his people. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God. But not according to what? Not according to knowledge. Now, They had a zeal for God. That tells us that God expects more than sincerity in our lives, more than feelings, more than emotion. Oftentimes today, people want to go on emotion and feelings. And they think, well, I'm so sincere. I love the Lord. I love the Lord. But what is His will for our lives? That's the question. The people of Israel, they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. God expects us to follow what is written in His Word, to find out what is written in His Word, and to live in accordance with that. We find in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, He said, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." 2 Peter 1 and verse 5, He said, "But for this very reason, giving diligence, add to your faith virtue to virtue knowledge." And in 2 Peter 3:18, He says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Why would we find all of these statements in the Scripture if God didn't expect us to understand and know His will for our lives and hold us accountable? And we could just say to the Lord in the final, "Well, I didn't know. I didn't understand that. I get a pass because of that." The fact is that when we don't know His law, it causes us to drift into other forms of sin and apostasy in our lives. So you can't practice what you don't know. How are you going to know what kind of husband you need to be, or what kind of wife, what kind of marriage you're supposed to have, or how to raise your children, what responsibility you have as a parent with your children, or what kind of a worker God expects you to be when you go to work out in the workplace, or what kind of relationships we are, or how to spend our pleasure time and our leisure time, and how to spend our money and the choices that we are to make in our life. If we don't know His Word, if we don't have a knowledge of God's Word, how can we practice and live the kind of life that God wants us to be living? Well, not only can you not believe what you don't know, you can't practice what you don't know, you can't teach what you don't know. Peter says in 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, it says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Be ready to give an answer. Be ready to give a defense. Whenever, you know, one of the things that we all fear, I think more than anything else in the area of evangelism, talking to other people about the Lord, is, what if they ask me a question and I'm not prepared for it? What am I going to do then? Well, that is another reason why study of God's Word is so important, that if we do give preparation and diligence as we should, we'll be able to give an answer in those areas of life. I've always thought it interesting how getting ready to go on a vacation, and maybe going to Las Vegas, for example, how everybody that's ever been to Las Vegas will come up to you or send you an email and they'll say, "Now you need to go there. You need to go to that restaurant. It's great. You know, don't waste your time on that one over there." But everybody is so ready to give you their advice because it's something they know about, something they're passionate about. They had a great time when they visited there. They found out what the good places to go. Need to stay in this hotel. You know, that one's not very good. Things like that. So when you know something about the subject, you are always excited to share it with other people. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we were more like that when it came to the gospel? That we were anxious. We have something. It's changed my life. I know how to become a Christian. I know how I became a Christian. And I can't wait to share that with others because they need to hear it. They're going to be lost if they don't hear that message. The Apostle Paul, in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 22 and Acts chapter 26, he made a defense of his faith. Two separate occasions. And what did he do? He explained how he became a Christian. How he had been an unbeliever. He persecuted the church. But what was it that changed his life and convinced him that Jesus was the Christ? That's what he shared. That's how he made his defense. And all of us should be able to do that. We should be all of us should be able to say, here's how I became a Christian. Here's why I became a Christian. Here's how my life has changed since I became a Christian. So, can you tell someone what you did to be saved? Can you tell someone about the knowledge you gained about your sins and that you needed to be set free from your sins and how Jesus has changed your life? We can't teach what you don't know. And it's not the knowledge that we are trying to impress people, how much knowledge we have. It's not knowledge for the sake of saying, I know more than you do about the Bible. Let me show you. It's not that at all. It's a motivation out of gentleness and reverence for God that motivates us to, out of the concern of the soul of the individual, to reach out to them just as you would if someone's going to Las Vegas or Disney World and say, let me tell you about where you can go and some neat things to do down there when you get down there. The same thing about here's how you can be saved and have a home in heaven after this life is over and be forgiven of all your sins. We ought to be motivated to gain that knowledge so that we wouldn't stand there and make the excuse, I'm afraid somebody's going to ask me a question. I'm not going to know how to answer the question. What would a lawyer do in a courtroom? He is given the responsibility to be there before the judge and the jury and defend this person who is on trial for his life and to get up there and say, I really don't know the first thing about this person. No, he's done the research. He's prepared the case to give the best defense he can. Because that man's life is at stake. And the Bible says, my people are destroyed. My people perish for lack of knowledge. We have a wonderful example of Ezra in the law of Moses. In Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10, and it brings these things all together. It says, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel. It was an issue of the heart for him to seek the law of the Lord. To gain a knowledge of what was written so that he could practice it, so that he could then become a teacher and help other people of the nation of Israel to know the mighty deeds of the God of heaven. May we also see the importance of that knowledge today. Jesus said, the day is coming when many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done wonderful things in your name? And I will say to them on that day, depart from me, you cursed. I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. You didn't do the word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. I never knew you. Sad words. So this morning, do you know what you need to do to become a Christian? Do you believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? That you know what Jesus did for you when He died on the cross and He was raised from the dead? And you understand now that through repentance and confession of His name and baptism into His death, you can be raised in the likeness of His resurrection. If so, then you know what you need to do this morning. And why are you waiting? Such an important decision. Do it right now while together we stand and while we sing.
I want to be a worker for the Lord.
I want to love and trust His holy word. I want to sing and pray and be busy every day in the vineyard.